Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning, Brevard County. Welcome to a wonderful Monday morning, a marvelous Monday right here. A magnificent Monday. I wonder how many M's we can come up with today to get you started on a good week. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, which is brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God and a few sponsors that want to make sure that the word goes out, and we want to make sure that we have an opportunity to bless them. We're coming to you from 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. Today's Modern Worship, and we want to thank you for making us part of your day. So today I want to tell you about Creative AC Solutions. Their phone number is 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. And I want you to write that number down if you either don't have someone who comes and looks at your air conditioner, or if you have somebody that comes and works on your air conditioner and you're not 100% sure of them. I'd like to encourage you to give them a call, 321-759-3284, and they can come out. Now, if you are like at church, if we're going to have an air conditioning problem, it generally shows up, I would say 90% of the time, that problem is going to show up on the weekend. And so here you are on a Monday. If your air conditioner decided that it needed a few days off over the weekend, give them a call, 321-759-3284. Have them come take a look at your unit, see if they can get it up and running. Do so at a fair price, and I believe that you'll be glad that you did. So a person that I know had some AC work done, and we had also had Creative AC Solutions do some work for us. And so we got to talking shop a little bit with between the two of us. And I can tell you, Creative AC Solutions will treat you fairly and honestly, and they will take good care of you. So I want you to give them a call, 321-759-3284. And check them out if you are in Central Brevard County. So this week, if you would be praying for us, we are at our general counsel from Wednesday on. And so that's like our business meeting that happens every 2 years. And they really like coming to Orlando, Florida. And we really like it when they come to Orlando, Florida, because then we don't have to buy plane tickets and all of that sort of stuff. So we are very excited, but if you would be praying, that, whatever decisions are being made, that, God's will be done, and that we will continue to touch the globe with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So after I left here on Friday, I was doing some, soul searching. I was doing some reminiscing about the radio program, and I talked a little bit last week about Jacob and Esau, Jacob and Esau, and how Jacob went into Isaac's presence and pretended that he was Esau with the purpose of stealing Esau's blessing. And I was doing a little thinking about that, some praying about that, and realized that Jacob at that point in time had stolen Esau's identity. And since we're talking about you shall not steal, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And that is this. I want to encourage you, be who you are created to be in Christ Jesus. Don't try and steal someone else's personality. God created you with your own unique giftings and your own unique talents, your own unique personality, and he intended for you to be you. And I can tell you from personal experience that trying to live your life as if you are a different person, or trying to imitate a person that you see that's famous in the news or famous in this circle or that circle, whether they're famous in the ministry or famous for singing or whatever it might be, don't try and pretend to be them. You'll never be able to accomplish that. Be who you are created to be in Christ Jesus, and watch God bless that. Now, like I've said before, I am a big fan of God making us into the person that He intends us to be. And so I don't want to limit that capabilities. I'm also not saying don't grow, don't develop your own skills and things like that. Don't isolate yourself from other people's thinking, because, you know, God may have positioned them in your life to make an improvement upon you. But I know a number of people who go and get haircuts like someone else got a haircut, and wear clothing just because someone else is wearing a clothing, and they say things just because other people are saying them. And if they continue down that road, they diminish their own personalities to such an extent that they don't even know who you are anymore. And it becomes an identity crisis that is not going to serve us well. So let's not steal someone else's identity. Let's be who we were created to be, and allow God to change us into the person that He wants us to be. He loves us as we are, but He loves us too much to allow us to stay that way. So there is growth, there is maturity, there is development, there is education and revelation and illumination that needs to take place. But that's not supposed to happen at the expense of our identity. And our identity is not based upon feelings. Our identity is based upon who we are in Christ Jesus. So, I believe that if God is not working to modify us, to change us, to improve us, then we're missing out on something. So I don't want to just say, well, I'm saved, glory, hallelujah, and just stop right there. I've got a job to mature. I've got a job for Jesus inside of me to increase, so that my carnal nature decreases, that people see more of Jesus in me on a daily basis, and they see less of me on a daily basis. So, I know a number of preachers through the years I see on television, and I know a lot of times people try and copy someone else's ministry. I had a person that one time they told me that they did not like my presentation style of the word. And it's like, well, you know, I really don't want to see you leave, but I tried to subdue myself, and it didn't work. It didn't last very long, and one day the real me came out, and I got all excited about the word, and that was it. That was too much for them, and bam, they were gone. And it's like, look, I am not going to sacrifice the person that God has made me to be thus far just to try and please someone else. So let's that wasn't in my notes, but I can tell you God knows us all the way to the thoughts, the intents, the number of hairs, the height, the age, the real hair color. He knows the plans and purposes that He has for us, and so we are best served being the person that God created us to be. I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 6 today as we're looking at this, you shall not steal. And in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 30, it says, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. And so there, what Solomon writes here is that there are some people who understand that if you are in a desperate situation, if you are impoverished and you're stealing food, they're not going to hate you as much as that. But there is still not a scriptural endorsement of that. And we've talked about this concept of restitution before, and it goes on to say that when he's caught, not if he's caught, yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. Okay? And so there are different levels of restitution that need to be made. And just because you're poor does not mean that there's not going to be restitution. Just because you are hungry doesn't mean that there's not going to be restitution. And even if it bankrupts your entire household, there has to be restitution that is made. And so there was a lot of in place to discourage stealing. I went on a missions trip one time, and it was to a very, very impoverished country. And we found out when we got back to Miami, when we were in the airport waiting to leave that country, where we were on our way to Miami, and there was a police officer from Miami, and he was talking about in the region where he had just come from, someone had stolen a goat. And I gather they killed the goat and ate the goat, and the entire village rose up, and they demanded that goat be compensated for. It was kind of like a gang violence there, and it doesn't matter how poor you are, there will be a price to pay. I want to encourage you this: trust God for the provision, because if he could cause ravens to bring food to Elijah at the brook Cherith, if he could multiply the loaves and the fishes, he can take care of you. He can take care of me. So I saw a meme here a week or so ago. I don't remember what it was. And it would be how the crowd would respond if Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes today. And so it shows the crowd and Jesus distributing the food, and one of the persons saying, "But wait a minute, I'm a vegan." And the other person saying something, has that fish been tested for mercury levels? And another person said, "Well, I'm gluten free." And it really is kind of fascinating. Not that people don't have health issues, but how vocal we have become in demanding that whatever is provided for us be exactly what we want when we want it. And I was talking to somebody else about another provision, and I made this statement. I was like, you know, some people, it's a completely unrelated topic, but I said some people would complain if you walked up to them and gave them $1 million, but you gave it to them in ones. And it's like, I wouldn't care if you gave me $1 million in pennies. I'd make as many trips back and forth to the bank as was necessary. You know, $1 million is $1 million. And so let's make sure that we can trust God. Listen, if he is going to take care of us for all of eternity, we ought to be able to trust him to provide for us now. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 22. That's where our next subject is going to be. Next, Proverbs chapter 22. And verse number 22 says, "Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them." There are a number of people who have the mindset that it's okay to steal from poor people or extort from poor people or oppress poor people because they do not have the financial resources to take the legal remedies to prevent you from doing that. I want to raise the stakes on you for that, and let you know that the Bible says that you are not supposed to rob the poor, you are not supposed to oppress the afflicted, because in doing so, God is going to take up their case for them. God is going to plead for them, and it's not going to be in the court of man, it's going to be in the court of heaven, and he's already the judge there. Listen, there is no better attorney on the planet than Jesus. Okay. You want him in your corner. You do not want him opposing you. You do not want him arguing against you, because you are using manipulation to rob from people that he intended to bless. Okay. God really was very active in preventing Balaam from cursing the people of Israel that God wanted to bless. And so God intervened over and over again to make sure that there was not anybody who was trying to hinder the blessing of God's people. So you don't want to rob the poor. God's going to plead his case. And it says this, that when he pleads their cause, the result is the soul of the oppressor, the soul of the thief, is going to be plundered. It describes that the restitution is not just going to come from a bank account, but it will come from your very soul. So I want to encourage you to treat people fairly, to treat people in a manner that is right and true. Be a giver. You know, you'll hear me say it a lot. Merritt Assembly of God is blessed to be a blessing. So we're not here looking to oppress the poor. I know that a lot of people think that churches are all about the money and all of that sort of stuff. And I would challenge you on that to just put aside the superficiality and dig down deep and see that the churches are blessing people in the community. You know what? They don't call the Chamber of Commerce. They don't call the mayor or the county commissioners whenever they have a personal problem, whenever they have an issue that arises. But you know what? It's not unusual for your pastor or a staff pastor or the church to get a phone call and say, can you help in this area? Now, we can't help everybody. We have policies in place and things like that. And we recognize that there are immediate needs and there are legitimate needs. We also realize that there are spiritual needs. And we also realize that there are people who are out there just trying to manipulate the system so that they don't have to get out and go do something. I will tell you that the price tag for, you know, not doing everything that you can is higher than getting out there and doing to the best of your ability what you can do. I have a friend of mine. He does some work for the church. His physiological abilities are extremely compromised, but his mind is not compromised. He's an extremely brilliant man, and he uses that, the giftings that he has, to provide for his family and to be a blessing to the body of Christ, and I applaud that. So the Bible says that if you don't steal anymore, get out and go get a job, and that you might glorify God. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the series that we're doing. Want to flip over a couple of more pages to Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 24. Again, we're talking about you shall not steal and the different ramifications that has for society. Verse number 24 says this: whoever robs his father or mother and says it is no transgression, the same is companion to a destroyer. The same as companion to a destroyer. What is it? It is a person who robs from their parents, robs from their family. In Orlando area, someplace right now, there's a pretty high profile case that is going on right now, because a man ended up or is accused of killing his family because he was siphoning off family resources for an online service, that we'll just leave it at that. And so that's not wisdom. And you can't go robbing from your family and thinking that that is okay. God knows everything that takes place. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that I know people who have stolen from their own family in the past, and that's not going to work out well. In fact, the Bible says that the same is companion to a destroyer. There is going to be destruction. There's going to be destruction of the family dynamic. There's going to be loss of peace. There is going to be loss of blessing, loss of inheritance, could possibly be loss of life. And so you don't want to unleash destruction in your life. And so I want to encourage you to be a blessing to your family. Don't be the reason that family dynamics are under attack and destroyed. That is not going to be healthy for you in the long run. God wants us to honor our father and mother, not to rob from our father and mother. So our next one, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 10. So it's going to take me just a little bit of time to turn over there from Proverbs, Isaiah chapter 10. We're going to look over here, and we're going to see that something that people were trying to steal, and then that the king of Assyria, that in the same chapter, he was told by God that he was stealing something and why he was stealing. Okay, so we're going to get to the motive of that just a little bit. In chapter 10, verse number 1, "Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune, which they have prescribed, to rob the needy of justice and to take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. What will you do in the day of punishment and in the desolation which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your glory? Without me, they shall bow down among the prisoners, and they shall fall among the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." They are being told here that they are stealing justice, that justice was for sale, that there were some people that were able to manipulate the system while the poor were going to suffer at the hands of the system. And I want you to look at the word that God uses to describe such a society, and that is this: woe. Not W-H-O-A, W-O-E, meaning it is a lamentable condition when you find that you are robbing people of justice. God looked for business people who were going to operate with a just scale, that whenever they were buying and selling grain, they did not use a heavier stone when they were buying and a lighter stone when they were selling. He was looking for just scales. He wasn't looking for, well, because you're rich, you're going to get this. God was looking for justice. I was told by a missionary years ago, he's one of the big issues in our society that young people want to address are injustices. Now, I want you to know that is not just because one person has more money in their bank account than others. That's not what's going to take place. I remember reading this statistic that they had done some financial analysis, and they said if you took the money away from all of the rich people in the world and you gave it to the poor people of the world, that within a 5-year period of time, the rich would be rich again and the poor would be poor again. You see, because it is not just about a money, it is about a mindset. And so justice should not be for sale. It says that whenever you steal justice, that a day of punishment is most surely going to come. And where are you going to hide when God comes and says, "Why have you created an atmosphere of corruption amongst my people. God is not looking for that. Okay? If anything is being seen right now, it is that there is an underbelly. There is some things that take place. There are some back rooms that should not be functioning. There is influence peddling and all of that sort of stuff that is being exposed right now on a national and an international level. On an international level, there was a revelation here a few weeks ago that was made in a court case that one particular nation bribed an official that was awarding a contract, and they padded his pocket with $2 million. And it's like, oh, so that's how that wasn't a just consideration where everybody was trying to decide. Where are you going to hide? Well, I can tell you this, that the best thing to do is come out and confess and repent. And a lot of people think, that's just going to be the end of it. I'm going to be forgiven. You forget about the restitution aspect. Where are you going to hide where God would not see you? And what is going to be the end result? The end result is going to be captivity. It's going to be death. It says, without me, they shall bow down among the prisoners, those people who are going into captivity, and they shall fall among the slain. If you look in chapter 10 and verse number 13, this has to do with Assyria and his mindset when he comes in. And he says, for he says, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, also I have removed the boundaries of the people and have robbed their treasury. So I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. If you read the context of that, you will see that in verse number 12, that he says, God says, I will punish the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his haughty looks. Arrogance says, I'm going to do this and no one's going to be able to stop me. Arrogance says, I'm going to be able to plunder the poor. I'm going to be able to attack God's people. I'm going to be able to plunder their treasuries, rob their treasuries. I'm going to be able to do this because of how wonderful I am. And you forget that God opposes the proud. Who's going to stop you? I'm here to tell you that God is the one who is going to address that situation. And just like we said before, where are you going to hide when God says it's time to give an account? I tell you where I want to be. I want to be on my knees. I want to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to live the way. I want to be blessing the poor and not robbing from the poor. Hope you do too. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.